This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Staunton will receive the kickoff, take it on about the 30-yard line, and bring it up. Is that Ryan Best on the carry there?
Well, it's Ryan Best, and Adam Beck made the tackle on the play. The kicker came slowly up the field as the needless to say, the Staunton kick return team did a nice job. When the kicker makes a tackle in the middle of the field, that's usually a bad sign. And Adam Beck, being a very sure tackler for the Miners, made an outstanding tackle and stopped the play there.
So the Bulldogs will set up with a pistol formation. They'll have two wide receivers each side. They'll run the option to the near side. It'll be a toss to Drew Mullenix. Mullenix gets to the outside. He zigs down the sidelines, and he's headed to the end zone. One man to meet at the 10 and the 5. He's going to be brought down just shy of the goal line as he was off to the races and takes it from his own 37-yard line all the way down to the 1-yard line. It will be a first and goal for the Bulldogs right off the bat.
So that takes us inside the Seavers Equipment Red Zone, which is powered by Seavers Equipment. Score big with Case IH at Seavers Equipment, SeaversEquipment.com.
And so Griffin Bianco was set up once again in that pistol formation, and he would give the ball off. Looked like it was Mullenix again, and he's going to come up short. He's going to be held to no gain. It'll be second and goal.
That inside defensive line of the Miners is quite a stout crew in there. Just a lot of beef with Ryan Root and Alex Jasper in there at 5'9", 235, and 5'11", 250. So they've got some beef in the middle.
Kendall Boyd will go out of the lineup. Kyle Favor will come into the lineup for the Bulldogs. It'll be an empty backfield as Bianco's back there all by himself. Three wide receivers to the right, two to the left. He's all by himself, and he'll take it himself and go right into the end zone for our first score of the game. Bianco made that one look entirely too simple as he sent three receivers wide one side, two the other side, spread the defense out, and then shot right up past his offensive line for a touchdown.
And right, Griffin did make that look easy, but let's give credit to Robert Buffington and Brian Parker at left guard and left tackle, along with center Nicholas Barconi, opening up a huge hole there for Bianco to run through.
I like that call. They'll spread everything out and then just go right up the chute. Now the extra point is up. It's high, it's long, and it's good. Brett Kinder with the PAT makes it 7-0 Staunton. We're barely underway. Back with the Bulldog kickoff after these messages on WSMI. That it was touched means that it's a legal kick. So Gillespie's going to start with the ball on their own, what do we call that, about the 22?
22 looks good.
Miners in an early hole here this evening, trailing 7-0. As Mullenix with an outstanding run, thought he was going to get all the way to the end zone, but he was hauled down from behind on the one. What did we say, 56 yards on that
56
run?
Yards on the Mullenix run.
You hate to do that on your home field, immediately allow the opposing team, the visitors, to put up seven quick points. But that's what the Miners have done. They'll go into an I formation now with the wing and give it off to the tailback. That'll be Frankie Barrett. Barrett will get the ball out to about the 25. We'll give him a gain of about 3 and call it 2nd and 7.
Last time we were here, the Miners played the Hilltoppers, and the wingbacks, Frankie Barrett and Dominic Taylor, really got a lot of momentum late in the third quarter and rolled the Miners to a win. So interesting to see them going right to Frankie Barrett to start the game here.
And again, they'll go into that I backfield. A little variation of the wing tee. Carter up under center. Gets the offense set. He'll call his own name. And he'll be pushed back after a gain of maybe a yard. And that's going to be about it. That's going to bring up a third and still about 6 from the 25. Third and 6 coming up. For the Miners, they'll bring it to the line of scrimmage in that I formation once again. They'll do the toss sweep. They'll pitch it back to the tailback. He'll try to turn the corner, will Frankie Barrett. As Barrett looks like he's going to get the first down, Barrett is going to get the ball out to about the 35, let's call it the 36-yard line. And that will be a first down for the Miners.
It was going to be kind of questionable whether or not the Miners, Barrett got the first down, but fullback Dominic Macope really threw a great block to spring Barrett for the first down.
Now the tight slot is over there with a split in, both to the left side. And they'll toss it this time to Dominic Taylor. Taylor's going to find some good yardage over on the left side as he's going to turn the corner and take the ball out over the 45 to about the 49. 10, picked up 13. First and 10 Miners. A little bit more methodical, but they are still doing a good job of moving the ball down the field.
And a much quicker start than we saw against when they played for the Toppers. Gillespie really getting out and moving the ball quickly here in the first half, trying to, I'm sure, meet that stunt and intensity that led to the first Bulldog touchdown.
So that'll bring up a first and 10 for the Miners. They're out near the midfield stripe now. They'll do another toss sweep back to this side, giving the ball once again to Frankie Barrett. Barrett fumbles the ball. It is going to be picked up there by the Staunton Bulldogs, Tyler Grandadier. He's going to avoid one tackler, then another. He's going to take it all the way in for a 55-yard touchdown run on the fumble recovery. Grandadier scooped that one up and did not break stride whatsoever.
Gary, we had a great conversation coming in with defensive coordinator for the Bulldogs, Troy Redfern, and you know, he talked about getting started early and starting fast and jumping early, and it looks like that game plan that they had is really starting to come to fruition for him.
And so Kinder's back out on the field as he's going to attempt a second extra point, 8:35 to go here in the first quarter. The Bulldogs have done it once with the offense, once with the defense. This point after is good, and it is 14-0, Staunton over Gillespie. Back with the Bulldog kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Personal foul, horse collar, so they will move the ball up to the 35.
You know, Gary, going back to Mullenix's long run, the tackle made by Gillespie near the goal line was a little suspect also. I was looking around, wouldn't have made that much difference because he was near the goal line anyway, but I was surprised they didn't make a horse collar tackle or horse collar call on that tackle also.
Well, they may have, but as you said, half the distance to goal would only have been about a 6 or 8 inch penalty.
Wouldn't have made that big a difference.
First and 10 for the Miners now as they'll trail. They'll run that little wing back counter, and the ball is on the ground once again. So it will be. Yes. All right, so Staunton with a fumble recovery again will get the ball again in Gillespie territory. This time they don't take it straight into the end zone, but they're going to have outstanding. So from the 37, there's going to be a timeout on the field. As they take a timeout, we will too. 14-0, Staunton with the lead. You're listening to WSMI. Doing some dancing. He's going to get the ball down inside the 30-yard line, down to about the 28-yard line. Let's mark it the 29, so we'll give him a gain of 8 and call it 2nd and 2. Well, actually, it's going to be 2nd and closer to 1, but in any event, the Bulldogs, with a 14-0 lead, they're marching down the field one more time. The Miner jumps off over on the far side, but he's able to get back and reset, so there's no penalty. Now Bianco will call the play. Two wide receivers on each side. He's going to hand the ball off to Mullenix. Mullenix is going to go right up the middle, and he's just shredding the Miner defense, taking the ball all the way down to the 20-yard line. As he's needed to, picked up 9, first and 10 for the Bulldogs, as they have taken the ball once again into Minor territory down deep into the territories. They're sitting on the 20-yard line. 7:41, they'll wind the clock after they move the chains, and it continues to run. 7:41 to go. Molnick's going to take a fake this time, and Bianco's going to keep it himself, and Bianco is going to take it into the end zone. And, Dan, that is just simply entirely too easy. Bianco with a good fake to Molnick's. Everybody was looking for Molnick's to have the ball. Bianco goes untouched from 20 yards out.
Really made that look easy. Like you said, Gary, Drew Mullinex, one thing I'm very impressed with him about, he always has two hands on the ball when he gets through the line of scrimmage, but once he breaks into the backfield, into the secondary, very difficult to tackle or catch.
So Bianco with his second touchdown of the game, the point after is good. So with 7:29 to go here in the first quarter, 21-0 is the Staunton lead. We'll be back with a Bulldog kickoff after these messages on WSMI. As there's a whistle blown, they got to stop and check, make sure there's enough air in the ball. I don't know what it was. But in any event, two wide receivers to each side. Taylor's over here on this side, along with Devin Stroh. Carter up under center with one back in the backfield behind him. In motion goes Barrett. They'll give the ball to the fullback, and he's going to be wrapped up after a short game. Good job there by the defensive end. Like that's number 21, Drew Mullinix, coming up with a good stop for a short gain. Let's get a gain of about up to the 32-yard line. So from the 32, let's call it second and about seven. From the 32, 6:50 to go here in the first quarter. 21-0, Staunton with the early lead. Trips wide to the left, to the wide side, the far side of the field, as the Miners are heading out to the north this time. And they'll have a pass out on the flat. Looked like that was intended for Cravagna, who will make the catch and take the ball out to the 45. That's going to be good enough for a first down for the Miners.
Anthony Cravagna is just a little bubble screen to the inside. The inside blocker was John Berry. Did a great job of throwing that initial block. At that point, Cravagna just really took over and got himself vertical and up the field, making a nice gain for the first down.
From their own 45, the Miners trailing 21-0. We'll go back to that I backfield, and they'll fake the ball to the fullback. Now a little toss and incomplete pass. Nice defensive effort there by Ryan Best. As Best reached up, got a hand on it, knocked the ball to the ground. Incomplete pass will bring up a second and 10.
And I think he had his receiver just a little bit more air to the ball. If he'd just create just a little bit more of arc on the ball, and that had got over Best's head and been a complete pass, he had an open receiver.
In the old days, they said he didn't loft enough.
There you go.
I'm not even sure they use that word anymore. But in any event, it'll be second and 10 for the Miners from their own 45. Desperately needing to, one, hang on to the ball. Two, move the ball down the field. And three, try to culminate with some points on the board as they trail 21-0. Back to the eye. They'll go to the pitch to Barrett. And Barrett's going to be wrapped up before he ever gets a chance to turn the corner. Tyler Grandadier coming across quickly. Catches him behind the line of scrimmage and brings him down at the 44 for a loss of one. That'll bring up a third and 9 for the Miners. Halfway through quarter number one, 21-0 is the Bulldog lead. Carter with a third and long. You might think he would be going to the air here again. The 52-set defense there for the Bulldogs.
Well, it's more of a 4-3, but they're walking up. Molnix right now has walked up to the line of scrimmage.
He's rolling out, and you talk about Molnix getting in the right position. He's able to put pressure on, and the pass is thrown, and it's, I'm not sure if it was complete or incomplete. They're going to call that one incomplete and bring up a fourth down. Okay, from the 45, they're going to give him a gain of one or two, so that's going to make it fourth and actually 11, as the ball is back on about the 44, so it's going to be punt time for the Miners. The good news is that the Miners did not give up the ball there. Let's see if they can get a decent foot into the ball. as they'll look for a good long snap. It comes back well. Line drive kick. As Grandadier is not going to be able to chase that one down, he'll let it roll. It'll go down inside the 20 to about the 18-yard line. And so the Bulldogs will take over there. First and 10 from their own 18. They lead in this one 21 to nothing. You're listening to WSMI.
Adam Beck being quite a weapon on defense, it's talked about a lot, but where he's kind of unheralded is as a punter. He really does a nice job of creating favorable field positions for the minor defense.
Yes, indeed, and this time it's going to be a handoff to Mullinix, and Drew's going to take the ball out near the 25-yard line. Let's mark it at about the 24, so we'll give him a gain of about 6. Should bring up a second and 4. Very simple offense for the Bulldogs here in the early going, and very effective as well.
Well, and it's old school. We can look at this and say it's a modern offense with all the receivers spread out, but when it comes right down to it, the offensive linemen from Staunton are beating the defensive linemen from the Miners right now, and that's the difference in the game.
The little bubble screen out in the flat to Kyle Favor, and as Favor heads upfield, he'll get the ball out over the 30. Looks like he's going to get it out far enough for a first down, as that going to be spotted at the 32, so picked up 8. It'll be a first and 10 for the Bulldogs.
We got a penalty on this play, though, Gary.
Okay, we'll see and what that one is. Setting that flag down at about the 25. Looks like they could be calling a holding against the Bulldogs, and that's what it will be.
And it was out in front of everybody. One of the slot receivers for Staunton grabbed hold of a Miner, actually swung him around and threw him to the ground. And I'm going to guess you got to hold somebody to do that.
I thought you got 2 points if you got him down like that.
Wrong sport.
Okay.
Wrong sport.
All right, they're going to mark the penalty off, and they'll take the ball back to the 15-yard line. So from the 15, it'll actually be a 9-yard penalty and make it second and 13. At least that's my guesstimation. From the 15, Bulldogs have the ball over on the left hash mark.
So far, Griffin Bianco has only been a part of this game with his legs, his arm.
And you were saying, as he goes back to throw deep, he's got a receiver there. Oh, nearly intercepted as he overthrew the receiver. And Dominic Taylor had the best shot at it at midfield, but it goes through his hands. So we'll go back to the 15 and have a third and 13 for the Bulldogs.
Cody Castaldi was the receiver on the play, and he and one of the minor defenders got tangled up and went down. There was no pass interference call. Very good no call, in my opinion, where the two were up, both looking up for the ball. They just got themselves tangled up together and went down. Castaldi was looking around for a flag, but thought it was a great no call.
So that will bring up a third and 13 from the 15 for the Bulldogs. You might expect they would go back to the air again. And they will, as they'll throw that bubble pass, and it's going to be incomplete out in the flat over on the right side. So it should be punting time for the Bulldogs here. With 4:11 to go in the first quarter, they lead 21 to nothing, but will give the ball back to the Gillespie Miners. So the punt unit is in for the Miners. Anthony Cravagna is back with Frank Barrett to receive the punt. They'll be in their own territory at about the 45. Going to be a wobbly side-spinning kick, and it's going to be down by the Bulldogs in the Bulldog territory. The Miners are going to get outstanding field position at the Staunton 37-yard line. Gillespie will start.
You know, Gary, I find it interesting that, you know, I did comment that we hadn't seen Griffin Bianco throw the ball yet, but I guess I got to ask the question, why?
Yeah.
Why? Between Bianco and Mullinix, they've pretty much had their way in that offensive line. They've had their way running the ball. So I find it confusing that they would go to the air with having so much success on the ground.
You're of the attitude, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, I like to think so. But I know that
it had been very effective for them, that's for sure. Now let's see if the Miners can continue that abbreviated drive that was interrupted just a moment ago. Because they will go back to the air. Carter will go deep. He's got a receiver down there, and that is Anthony Cravagna, but he's overthrown by about 5 yards. Incomplete pass will bring up a second and 10 from the Staunton 37.
Tyler Grandadier and Tony Hittmeyer were in coverage for the Staunton, and two nice defensive backs at 5'11", 175, and 6'1", 160. They've got a lot of height and size and speed in their defensive backfield, making it difficult to complete passes.
So they'll spot the ball back again. Looks like it's actually closer to about 36, but in any event, it's a second and 10 for the Miners. Incomplete pass, stop the clock with 4 minutes to go here in the first quarter. 21-0, Staunton with the lead, Gillespie with the ball. It's a toss sweep as on the option. It was a keeper, and then he decided last second he wanted to pitch the ball out to John Berry, the 5'8", 160-pound sophomore. And I'm not sure if he even got back, you know, maybe to the line of scrimmage and a little bit more. Let's see, down to maybe the 32. So let's give him a gain of, say, 4, and let's call it 3rd and 6.
Joey Carter looked a little, I'm not going to say confused, just a little hesitant on making that pitch. And I think if he had planted that outside foot and made that pitch a little bit earlier, Berry could have had a chance to get up the field a little bit quicker.
Makopet is the single back in the backfield now. Man going in motion, and they'll give it to that motion man. That's Dominic Taylor. Taylor coming from the right side, cuts off that left tackle, turns the corner, gets the ball down inside the 30 to about the 28. Give him a gain of 4, going to bring up a 4th, and still about 2. Time to go for it, right?
Absolutely. Down by 3 scores inside Bulldog territory. I'm not sure the Miner coaching staff has a choice here.
I'm not sure what I wouldn't let Joey Carter see if he could go behind that big offensive line and pick up these 2 yards. See if he goes up under center. He will indeed, as he'll have McCopet as a single back behind him. Looks like Bulldogs are filling the gaps. So he's going to turn to the outside. He'll get that first down, I do believe. Nice run there. Going to be brought down out on the flat by Tyler Grandadier, but not until he gets the ball down to the 25. Needed 2, picked up 3. 1st and 10 Miners.
Gary, I think it's fair to say that Joey Carter is an emotional player. And the more emotional he interjects into this game, the better that he plays. And I think that running the ball is really where he is at his happiest as a quarterback. And I think if Coach Billbrook can get him into the game a little bit more as running the ball, I think this whole Miner team is going to respond to that.
Yeah, I was going to say that energy reflects to the rest of the team as well. 1st and 10 for the Miners. He's going to keep the ball himself. He's going to roll back. Now try to throw over the middle. Got a receiver there. Touchdown, Miners! As Dominic Taylor got behind the defenders, he leaped, made the catch, and the Miners are on the board as Joey Carter. Outstanding pass to Dominic Taylor. 4 6-point Miners are on the board.
Joey did an outstanding job of making a great ball fake to McCopet, who sold it. I thought he had the ball, to be honest, in the beginning. Then as I look back to Carter, he had the ball hidden on his hip, really was patient and waited. And then once he pulled the ball back to go, Dominic Taylor was wide open in the end zone.
Here comes the point after attempt by the Miners. It's high, it's long, and it's good. And so the point after attempt is successful. And that was, what was that, kicking that off?
That was Adam Beck.
Adam Beck with a point after. And that makes our score 21-7. Miners are on the board, back with the Gillespie kickoff after these messages on WSMI.
FM 106.1.
We're back in the studio. I'm Gary Boker alongside Dan Newkirk. And as we saw, the Staunton Bulldogs jumped out to a 21-0 lead, but the Miners refused to go away. They come back utilizing a short field. And as a result, they take it in. The drive was 5 plays, 36 yards. Joe Carter hooking up with Dominic Taylor on a 25-yard touchdown pass. Adam Beck's point after makes it 21-7. And now Beck to kick off to the Bulldogs. Still 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go in this first quarter. We said in 3 of the last 4 games, the winning team has scored over 40 points. We may be headed for that again tonight.
Well, they're showing that pace right now.
A little squib kick. And coming down with it for the Bulldogs over there is Joe Fisher.
Joe Fisher is who I had, yeah.
Did a good job there of covering that one up as that was at the 40-yard line. And so from their own 40, the Bulldogs with a 21-7 lead. They'll take over on offense once again. They'll go into that pistol with one back in the backfield with the quarterback. Two wide receivers left, two wide receivers right. Bianco is going to take and hand it off to Mullenix. And Mullenix is going to pick up about 99 yards out to the 49. That is 9 yards, folks. And it's going to bring up a second and one back to bread and water, bread and butter, just as you said, Dan.
Yeah, and I think probably that little experiment we had in the last series, Coach Ferguson said, all right, let's go back to Mullenix where it happened. Adam Beck was the tackler for the Miners, and I believe possibly saved a touchdown.
One thing about it, when they have been shooting right up the middle, they have been very successful. Whether it is Mullenix or whether it is Bianco, Mullenix this time is going to be wrapped up just as he gets to the line of scrimmage. Not going to get as much there, and I believe, was that Beck once again on the tackle?
Beck was in there assisting with him, but it was Billy Gill that was blitzing and caught him back in the backfield, really stopping it for Beckton to clean it up.
Gain of one, going to be a third and one. Because we're going to have double tight slots and split ends on each side. One back behind the quarterback in the pistol formation. They're going to draw the Miners off and pick up a first down without having to snap the ball.
I don't know if that was, I'm not sure if that was Griffin Bianco or if that was a call from the sideline, but Gillespie had just blitzed two linebackers with great success in that play. The assumption being it worked once, let's go to it again. Making the play on two or three, whatever they were doing, was really a heads-up call.
So now from the Gillespie 46 with 1:15 to go on the clock running here in the first quarter, it'll be a first and 10 for the Bulldogs. They'll give the ball off to Mullenix. Mullenix, I tell you what, he's running like a fullback, isn't he? Just folding that ball up, lifting those knees high, gets the ball down inside the 45, down to about the 43. So we'll give him a gain of a tough three, call it second and 7.
And Drew Mullenix really kind of a hybrid of sorts of running backs where he's, you know, almost big enough where he can be a full back, but he's almost fast enough that he could be that eye back, and the combination of the two makes him quite a deadly runner.
And he wants to prove he could be either. Oh, bad snap, and Bianco has to go back and fall down on it, back in his own territory, all the way back on their own 40, well, they'll mark it at about the 48-yard line. So that's going to be a loss on the play of about 9 yards. Going to bring up a third and about 17. Third and 17 from their own 48 down to the final 10 seconds. Bulldogs may or may not run off one more play. Looks like they're content to watch the clock as it runs down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And that's going to be the end of the first quarter. After one period of play here at Gillespie High School, it is Staunton 21, Gillespie 7. Back with the second quarter after these messages on WSMI.
Next week, big game here with Staunton with playoff implications. Cardinalville's going to be traveling to Staunton. That's the live game. With the delayed game, the Litchfield Panthers traveling to the Pena Panthers.
And as we return to live play here in the second quarter, the Bulldogs decide to open it up and air it out, and the intended receiver down there, Tyler Grandadier, couldn't quite put his hooks on it. So it's going to be punt time for the Bulldogs.
Dominic Taylor was in defense on that play. Dominic at 6'1", 60, a nice tall cornerback. Tyler Grandadier has really enjoyed all season, really towering over a lot of the corners in the South Central, but Taylor's right about his size.
Carvania and Barrett, the deep men, as they will try to kick away from them, and the punt is going to roll out of bounds over on the far side. Going to be a flag thrown. I believe it's going to be an illegal block in the back. And so the Miners, who were going to have some very poor field position to begin with, it's going to get even worse with the penalty tacked on.
And why? I don't understand, why are we touching anybody? You know, and I get, I'm going to do my job. I'm not going to worry about where the ball is. And I'm not in that boy's helmet right now. But there's a timing where you just realize whether the guy's running the ball or not. And it had to be way past that time in his head. And I don't understand why he even threw the block to begin with.
It's called discipline. And sometimes we're not as disciplined as we should be.
and 16 and 17-year-old boys making decisions.
So the Miners are going to get the ball, and it'll be deep in their own territory, as it looks like this is going to be down on, what, about the 2 or 3 yard line?
They're in deep. They're definitely in deep.
They're in the shadow of their own goalpost. Now the one official's trying to check to make sure. Now where is the ball supposed to be spotted? And secondly, we want to play with our ball. We don't want to play with your ball. So they got to switch the balls. Looks like they're going to spot it. Yeah, I believe they're moving it still to about the 3 yard line.
No, it's come out. It's come out beyond the 5 now. And they
see how he pulls the chain here.
They've got the box.
Okay, it looks like it is at about the 5. They have to get to the 15. Whatever you say, folks, is all right with us. So the Miners trailing 21-7 have the ball on their own 5. See if they can work their way out from behind the shadow of their own goalpost. They'll run a student body sweep to the left side. Get the ball out maybe 2 or 3 yards. Looks like this one's going to be spotted about the 7 or 8 yard. Let's give him a couple of yards. Call it from the 7, 2nd and 8.
Dominic Taylor doing a nice job of getting them. And again, they're in, literally in the shadows of their own end zone. And Taylor giving them a little bit of breathing room, trying to give Coach Billbrook some options of play calling.
As Taylor was walking back to the huddle, he had a little hitch in his giddy up, trying to pick that one knee up a little bit higher as if to stretch out a little bit. Go back into a tailback position now, bringing up a 2nd and 8 for the Miners. Still looking to get into some positive yards here. They're going to give the ball to Taylor. Taylor's going to be wrapped up by Kyle McCullough and brought down, but not until he gets the ball out to about the 15-yard line, maybe the 16-yard line. Looks like that's going to be enough for a Miner first down.
I tell you what, Dominic Nakopit was out in the lead back position. If he could have got to that tackler, which looked like he was close to, that play might have sprung for quite a bit of yards.
So it'll be a 1st and 10 for the Miners. They've moved the ball out to about the 16-yard line. We're just underway here in the second quarter, 10:30 to go till halftime. 21-7 is the Bulldog lead. Joe Carter sets the team with an eye backfield behind him. He'll play fake. He'll keep it himself. Run the little down, out and down, looking for Cravagna. Cravagna got hooked up with his defender, and that was Kyle McCullough. No flags. Incomplete pass brings up a 2nd and 10.
A lot of contact. There was a lot of contact and hand fighting out of both players. But officials, at this point in the game anyway, seem to let these defensive backs and receivers bang each other and move each other around. But it seems to have been on both sides. There's been some plays where... No, it didn't seem to be, because there's been some starting receivers get banged around a little bit too. But that was one where there was a lot of contact in that play.
2nd and 10 from the 16. I like that play, down, out, and down. Cravagna just needed one more step to get the breakaway distance. Now they'll run that wing back counter again. Oh, the ball is on the ground, and the Bulldogs are going to come up with it. I believe coming up with it is Kyle McCullough on the recovery. And that was a situation, it looked like to me, he ran into his own back ahead of him. And so McCullough with the fumble recovery is going to give the Bulldogs outstanding field position as they will get the ball inside the 25 down to about the Gillespie 21-yard line. Mistakes, mistakes, mistakes. You can't afford to make these kind of mistakes against a rival team like this. The Bulldogs with a 21-7 lead. Griffin Bianco will set the offense. He'll have Mullinix beside him in the backfield. Two wide receivers to each side. He'll give the ball to Mullinix, who wants to turn the corner. Mullinix not going to go too far there. Is that Carter over there quickly coming up?
Very quickly. Very quickly. Mr. Joey Carter, quarterback, might be one of the best tackling quarterbacks I've seen. And we talked about it before, Gary. Joey Carter, I think, probably being a better football player than he is quarterback. He's an outstanding football player, and that tackle really kind of exemplifies that.
2nd and 10 from the 21. Carter with a good stop there of Mullinix, and that'll bring up, as we said, the 2nd and 10. The Bulldogs heading north. They'll go to the air. No, he pump fake, and now It is going to be a keeper by Bianco, and Bianco just simply a little pump fake to get the defense thinking it was a pass, and then he pulls it down and keeps himself down to the 30, 20, 15, down to what, about the 13-yard line there?
13-yard line.
At the 13. So we'll give him a gain of 8. That's going to bring up a 3rd and 2 for the Bulldogs. Bianco is such a threat, both as a runner and as a passer, and he proved it right there. However, this time he'll give it off to Mullenix, and Mullenix has proven that he's a tough hombre as he simply runs right over the Gillespie defenders and all the way in for the touchdown. Mullenix comes up with a TD as he takes that one in from 13 yards out. Thank you, sir, for the touchdown. It is a dynamic duo. Pick your poison. If one guy doesn't get you, the other one will. And this time it is Mullenix taking it in. Point after attempt is up. It is blocked. Coming through there quickly for the Miners was Frank Barrett blocking the kick. And so that'll make it 27-7 as the point after attempt is no good. We'll be back with the Bulldog kickoff after these messages on WSMI.
106.1.
Three plays to go, 21 yards. Drew Mullenix taking it in for the touchdown. Or excuse me, 28 yards. And it's 27-7. Staunton comes roaring back after giving up that Gillespie touchdown, Dan.
They sure did. And just to take a little break from, we had to make a lineup change, starting lineup change for the Miners and their offensive line. Foley Safari, their big guard, broke his ankle this week in practice, and he's just showed up at the game a little while ago. He's on the sideline. He's got a wheelchair, and he's in a soft cast right now, but I'm sure a little bit of a lift for the Miners seeing a teammate, a fallen teammate, on the sideline again.
Yeah, I thought some thoughts and prayers go out to him, and, of course, hope he has a speedy recovery. Can't be on the field, but he can be on the sideline, and he's cheering on his Miners, as you said. Catching the kickoff for Gillespie was Frank Barrett. Problem was he caught it with his knee on the ground, so there's no run back, and the Miners will have the ball on their own 28-yard line. First and 10 as they trail 27-7 here in the second quarter. They'll toss it back in the corner to John Barry. Barry's going to try to turn the corner. He will, and he'll get out beyond the 30 to about the 32-yard line. Ran about 50 yards, picked up 4, call it 2nd and 6.
And that's a play that they run very well over here in Gillespie, that toss sweep that's just downhill. Whether it be Barry, Taylor, or Barrett, they're always gaining yards, they're always running downhill. And this is an offensive play, whether running left or right, that Gillespie's done a nice job of wearing down opposing defenses with. And we'll see if Coach Bilbrook goes to that here in the second quarter, trying to spin the legs on Staunton a little bit.
2nd and 6. Trips wide to the left over here to the near side. They'll run a quick screen pass to Taylor. Taylor's going to be wrapped up by Cullen McBride, and he's going to be brought down inbounds out at about the 34-yard line after a gain of a couple. It's going to bring up a 3rd and still about 4 to go for the Miners.
John Barry, just a sophomore, is really starting to exercise himself and must really be showing Coach Bilbrook and the staff some stuff in practice, because he's getting more and more reps in varsity games.
3rd and 4 from their own 34 for the Miners as they trail here 27-7. Just inside 8 minutes to go till halftime. Up under center goes Joe Carter. They'll go to the more conventional wing tee and give it off to that fullback, Dominic McCopic. McCopic goes over the 40-yard line out to about the 42. Needed 4, picked up 8. 1st and 10 Miners. Good, solid run there.
Really was, and that's a nice thing. When they are running so much of this sweeps and the quick passes to the outside, you got big Dominic Maycope sitting back there just biding his time and watching those defensive lines split to cover the outside, and he's really good at picking those gaps.
Well, Ryan Root and C.J. Waters over here on this side, they help open up that hole for him to gain the Miners a 1st and 10 from their own 42. They'll go back to the conventional wing tee. They'll go back to that fullback. McCulpin, as he's going to have another nice run out over the 45 to about the 48. Going to be a gain of about 5, maybe 6. We'll call it 2nd and 4. Bread and butter. Just keep going between the tackles and picking up 3 and 4 yards at a time. That's all you need.
At 5'9 and 200 pounds, Dominic McCulpin is quite the bowling ball. And when he gets those elbows flying, I'd say even a bowling ball with some razor blades.
See if they'll go to him again. Yes, they will. He's got a lead blocker, and he goes across midfield, gets the ball into Bulldog territory, as he's going to be spotted down just inside the 50. We'll call it the 50. Give him a gain of 2, and that's going to bring up a 3rd and 2 for the Miners.
And the great thing about this is with Maycopa getting these carries, Taylor and Barrett, who have carried the meat of the load here in the first half, are kind of getting a rest, kind of getting to take a break. You know, we get down here when we get a little bit closer, those guys will be a little bit more fresh for a push into the end zone.
Now it looks like the Bulldogs are trying to fill all of those inside gaps to see if they can shut it down between the tackles, as we're going to keep it this time and throw the toss, and it's going to go out of bounds, fortunately for the Miners, as there was a Bulldog over there in pursuit, but McBride couldn't collect the ball before it fell out of bounds at the 49. Going to actually be a gain of close to 1, and it's going to be awful close. It looks like to me with this spot, still going to need a couple of feet, don't you think?
Going to be just a little short, I agree. The pitch relationship, they were running the option, and I think their pitch relationship got just a little bit close when Carter made that pitch.
And they're going to call it the first down. I'm not sure over on the other side they agree with that. But nonetheless, the Miners going to pick up a first down. It'll be 1st and 10 GHS at the Staunton 48.
I'm not sure I agree that it was not a first down, but I agree with him that can we at least get a measurement on something so close, because it had to come down to a foot or less for that first down, and they're looking all the way across the field making that determination.
Now they'll go back to the I backfield. John Berry will be the tailback in the I for the Miners. Will Berry get the call? Yes, he will. Oh, nice lead block. Berry's off to the races. They won't catch him today. What were you saying about young John Berry? He's proving his worth?
I tell you what, young John Berry, and Berry being he's not a huge player coming in. I'm trying to find him on the program now. John Berry at 5'8", 162 pounds, so not a small underclassman, but boy, is he explosive up the middle and broke free, and there was nothing left in the middle of the field as far as white jerseys go.
Kind of remind me of a gazelle, as he was just kind of loping with those long strides, nice and smooth and easy. Basically untouched was John Berry. Out of that eye, he got a good block from Maycopa, his fullback, and went the distance for the touchdown. The point after attempt is good, and it is now Staunton 27, Gillespie 14, back with a minor kickoff after these messages on WSMI.
Point one.
Staunton with a 27-14 lead, but old man momentum, I believe, has just come over here to the Gillespie side.
This game's starting to feel a little familiar, Gary. We called a game over here a couple weeks ago with the Miners and the Hilltoppers from Hillsboro. Hillsboro came out, jumped on them up 2 scores. Those Miners, though, they're sneaky. I'm telling you, sneaky's the word I'm going to use. They just hang in there, and they keep hanging around, and the crowd gets behind them, and they just don't give up, and they're always in the game.
I'm going to use the word resilient.
Okay.
That sounds like an educated word. But sneaky's more appropriate, I guarantee you.
They hang in there.
They're like the snake in the grass. They simply won't go away, and lo and behold, when you least expect it, they'll jump up and bite you. John Berry was the guy who did it there. Now the Bulldogs are going to see if they can't respond with their two-headed monster named Bianco Mullenix. We shall see.
Really big defensive stand coming up here for the Miners, because they're going to get the ball to start the second half.
A weird bouncing kick, and it's going to be taken there by number 3. That was Jordan Rittner, as he's going to be waylaid just as he made the catch, but a good job there handling a wicked bouncing kickoff.
Now, did you see who waylaid him there? That was our good friend, Mr. John Berry, that made that tackle on that kickoff. The kid does it all.
At the 28-yard line, it will be Staunton's ball. And now they're having a little fun with the names up here. Indeed. Why not on Friday night? 27-14, Bulldogs with the lead, Bulldogs with the ball. Bianco with Mullenix standing beside him there in the backfield. Two wide receivers each way. It's going to be the option as they're going to pitch it out to Mullenix. He's going to get a nice block over there on the edge. As that looked like, that may have been Devin Ray coming up with the block. But in any event, an outstanding run there by Mullenix as he gets the ball out to about the 48-yard line. So a gain of 20 yards. Going to bring up another first and 10 for the Bulldogs. A good answer to that minor touchdown.
Really was. And Drew Mullenix having just a great half. He's got 135 yards and 11 carries right now. So it's been quite a factor in this game for the Bulldogs.
Option left work. Now they'll go motion right, and they'll give it back on the counter to Mullenix as the motion came from left to right, and then Mullenix cut back from right to left. He took the handoff. He'll take it over midfield. He'll take it down to the Gillespie 47-yard line. Gain of five, going to bring up a second and five. I like that play call, too.
Really do. You know what? Right now, with the momentum where it is, I like any play call where Drew Mullenix has the ball in his hands.
Now we'll send trips, the Bulldogs trips to the near side, to the right side. Single receiver over the other side. Now Bianco's going to roll out. He's looking. He overthrows the middle receiver. That was Cody Castaldi. First time they've targeted him tonight. Overthrown pass going to bring up a third and five.
Cody Castaldi really found himself a nice little patch of grass and was wide open. Bianco just sailed it over his head out of bounds. A very uncharacteristic Griffin Bianco has not completed a pass yet in this first half.
That one, I was wondering if he was undecided over which receiver to go deep or go middle, and he ended up going right between the two.
He threw a schmedium.
Third and five. Do what you want to do, but if you want the first down, you may want to go to Mullenix again. With the third and five, the Miners hunkering down. Bianco's going to keep it himself. He'll call his own number, and he's going to get the first down.
He
hits the ground, the ball comes free. Did the ground cause the fumble? Did the Miners recover? They're saying it is Gillespie ball. Who's getting up off the bottom of that pile? That's big number 40, Dominique McCopin. As he has the ball, and the Miners say, it's ours.
Well, I think.
And I think the officials may indeed be going to say that the ball caused the fumble, or the ground caused the fumble. Therefore, at the 40-yard line, the Bulldogs are going to maintain possession. Well, those fans wearing the orange and black did not like that call at all.
No, I don't think they agree. I don't think they agreed a bit.
On the far side, the red and white, they like the call. And now, I think there needs to be a clarification. As Coach Billbrook says, I saw the official, and he pointed south that it was our ball. Now the referee is trying to give him an explanation, and I'm not sure he's going to give him one that will be satisfactory.
I don't think Coach Billbrook's going to like any explanation he has for him here.
Only explanation he will like is we made a mistake and it's your ball.
And it was tangled up. I was watching the play,
well,
and I couldn't tell if it was out or not. It was a tough one to call.
Yeah,
so.
My contention was the one call that you couldn't dispute is if the ground caused the fumble when he went down, was he already down by contact?
There was no dispute the ball was out. That point was, but at what point it came out, and Coach Billbrook still is pointing to our left, which would be first down for them, but Mr. Whitehead says, no. Now it's going to be Staunton ball.
Not going to win that call. As he loses that call, we'll take a break, and we will have a first and 10 for the Bulldogs. We'll be back after these messages on WASMI. Dynamic duel, Bianco and Mullenix in the backfield. It is going to be a handoff to Mullenix, and he's going up the middle. He's got a Miner on him, but he's carrying him on down the field. And that looked to be number 42, C.J. Frensko, coming up on the tackle, but not until he gets down inside the 30 to about the 29. So going to be a gain of 11 and another first and 10 for the Bulldogs. And Frisco did all he could there. He was hanging on for dear life.
Well, you have to with a runner like Drew Molinix. Gary, if you watch, Drew Molinix has a great little stop jump slide that he throws in, and it's got to just throw linebackers into a frenzy trying to make tackles there.
Okay, so here we go with another first and 10 for the Bulldogs. He'll swing it out to Molinix, that little swing pass. Now he'll cut back against the grain, and once again, Dominic Makopet coming up with a tackle, but not until a good game made on the play, down to about the 20-yard line. Going to be a gain of about 9, should bring up a second and 1. And once again, the Bulldogs not doing anything fancy, very simple play calls, but very effective.
No, I think they're doing everything they can to keep the ball out of Gillespie's hands right now with the momentum shift, with the 2-touchdown lead.
3-3-3 showing on the second quarter clock. Bianco's going to keep the ball himself, and he gets right through a couple of defenders, and he's going to get down inside the 10-yard line. And it looks like it's going to be good enough for a first down, and there's going to be a flag down on the play. Are we going to have another horse collar tackle?
I believe so. Griffin Bianco is such an elusive runner that defenders do everything they can just to get their hands on him. There's been a couple times now that all they could get their hands on was the back of the shoulder pads, and down they went.
Give us some numbers, if you will, on those backs for the Bulldogs.
You betcha. Drew Molinix at 151 yards for 13 carries. Griffin Bianco has got 39 yards from his quarterback position on 6 carries. The only two that have carried the ball, for Staunton. Over on the other side, a little bit more distribution. We had Makopet with 13 yards, Frankie Barrett with 13 yards, Dominic Taylor 26, and John Berry, the young stud, with 66 and a touchdown.
They're going to wave that flag off. Staunton's going to have the ball from the 6-yard line, first and goal. They lead 27-14, but they're a knock, knock, knocking on the door.
That puts us in the Seavers Equipment Red Zone, powered by Seavers Equipment. Score big with Kubota in Auburn and Jerseyville. That's SeaversEquipment.com.
Bianco and Molinix looking over to the sideline to get the play from Zach Ferguson. It is going to be a handoff. No, it wasn't a handoff. As that time, Molinix wanted to take the ball out of Bianco's hands, and it almost caused Bianco to lose the ball. It looked like it may have come free momentarily, but he recovers for little or no gain. Let's call it second and goal, still from about the 6.
They're running what they call a zone read in the middle, Gary, where the quarterback and the running back have what we call a mesh point. And on that mesh point, both runners have the ball and have the choice of taking it. And every now and then, the running back really likes what he sees, and the quarterback really likes what he sees, too. And there's a little bit of a disagreement about who wants it.
I got it. You take it.
Often leading to a fumble.
We both want it. This time he says, let's go to the air, and he will. And it's going to be completed, but it's going to be short of the goal line as we have a penalty flag in the backfield. As the pass was completed to Tyler Grandadier, but let's see what the flag is. It's going to be a personal foul, roughing the passer on the Miners. So that's going to move the ball closer from the 6. It's going to move it down to the 3.
Really going to be a
calling it first and goal.
Not much of a penalty with it being down near the goal line anyway.
Nope. But with it being an automatic first down, I guess, it'll be first and
goal.
Oh,
that's true.
And they're still looking to see what the play is going to be over on the far sideline. There's a D and an A over there on the sideline as the play call is being made. Molinix going to get the carry, and Molinix going to get the points as he goes off that right side of that offensive line. And I tell you what, that offensive line has been a big contributor for the Bulldogs tonight.
Up front for the Bulldogs, we've got at 6'1", 220, senior David DeWeese. At 6'1", 210, senior Daniel Jordan. At 6'1", 230, senior Nicholas Barcani. At 6'2", 270, just a junior, Robert Buffington. And at right tackle, 6'2", 240, senior Brian Parker. So really, a very experienced, 4 seniors and a junior, very experienced offensive line, open up these huge holes for the runners for the Bulldogs.
So the Bulldogs are going to go for 2, and they're going to run the double reverse, and now the halfback pass to the quarterback, as it was number 17, Luke Seavers, passing the ball back to Bianco. So Seavers to Bianco, good for two, and that makes it now 35-14 in favor of the Bulldogs. Severs hooks up with Bianco for the two-point conversion, and it's 35-14 with 1:59 to go here till halftime. We'll be back with the Bulldog kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Tonight's game is coming your way on WSMI FM 106 and being streamed on WSMIRadio.com thanks to Network One Sports. The Bulldogs leading now 35-14. We said the winning team in three of the last four matches between these two teams has scored 40 or more points. Looks like we may be heading that way again tonight. As the Bulldogs kicking off from left to right, from south to north, in their white over white uniforms, the Miners in their black jerseys with the gold numerals and the gold pants, or orange pants, excuse me, as they will return it out to about the 40-yard line. So from their own 40, the Miners now trailing 35-14. They'll have it first and 10.
With a minute 51 to go, we got Anthony Cravagna at receiver. We got John Barry, who's a receiver. Devin Strill, they're a big 6'6 tight end. Dominic Taylor, a very good receiver. A lot of weapons for Joey Carter to try to hit to move this ball down the field in a minute 51.
The one thing you do not want is to throw an interception right here, though. On an open field tackle there. Whoa! Going to be a flag thrown after the play is over. I think a little extracurricular activity after an outstanding tackle there by the young man Cullen McBride. But I think they're going to take exception to his behavior at the conclusion of the play. Did I put that succinctly enough?
You did. I'm not sure what that the flag is. I think this sideline judge wanted to call the face mask that the white hat was vehemently shaking his head no. I think he had a hold of the top of the shoulder pads, and I believe we're going to get a flag picked up here, but no.
It is going to be a personal foul face mask against the defense.
He convinced him.
Flag was thrown at the 23. So they're going to take the ball out to the 38? Yeah, they'll mark it at the 38. And it'll be a first and 10 for the Miners from there. So a good start for GHS, picking up some big yardage there. They'll now wind the clock up. We're just underway here in the third quarter. 41-14 is the Bulldog lead. Miners going to do a double reverse with a handoff going to Cravagna. He's going to try to scoot around the far side. He'll find some running room out there, getting out over the 40, out to about the 45-yard line. Long run, gain of 7, brings up 2nd and 3.
Really a great run by Cravagna, but equaling that effort was Ryan Best, just traveling all the way across the field, spreading that out to make that tackle.
Looks like we're going to have a holding call against the Miners, and that's going to negate that run and set the Miners back down to about the 30-yard line. So it's still going to be...
That's really too bad, Gary, too, because the Miners did a great job of walling off the defenders and getting Cravagna open for that gain. So it's unfortunate they had the one holding call.
First and 17 from the 30 for the Miners, who will go back into that I formation with a split end out there, and they'll throw another interception as Luke Severs simply drifted back, and I don't believe the quarterback ever saw him. Severs makes the INT. Another turnover for GHS, and Staunton's going to get the ball, and they're going to get it in Gillespie territory at the Gillespie 33-yard line. There was a situation where the ball was thrown into a crowd, and Carter would have been better off if he had just pulled that one down and run.
Really would have. Severs, he didn't jump the passer. He just kind of sat in that space, and the receiver crossed over behind him.
The receiver came right to him.
He really did, and Carter got locked in on the receiver and did not even notice Severs, and it almost looked like he was throwing it right to him.
I've had that happen years and years ago and never saw the linebacker at all. Somebody didn't see Mullenix as he's scooting around the right side, and he's going to go all the way down almost to the 10-yard line. They're going to call him inbounds at the 10, so it's going to be a gain of 23, and it'll be another first and 10 for the Bulldogs. Just outside the 10-yard line are the Bulldogs.
So that puts us in the Seavers Equipment red zone. Mow like a pro with Exmark. Score big at Seavers. That's SeaversEquipment.com.
And so here go the Bulldogs with a first and 10 in the red zone. They'll hand off to Ryan Best. Best tries to go into the middle of that Gillespie defense, and this time the Miners are waiting for him there. Last guy up off the pile was Dominique Makopet. Good stop. Loss on the play of a couple. Let's move the ball back to about the 12 and call it second and 12.
A rare carry by Ryan Best. Generally, Best being Mullenix's chief lead blocker, so it's nice that Coach Ferguson got him a little bit of love.
Best sitting in the backfield again. He's going to take the fake, and they'll give him... Bianco will keep the ball himself. Bianco's not going to find the going very well. Ryan Root, one of the first Miners in on that tackle. He'll bring it back for yet another loss on the play. The ball's sitting on about the 15-yard line. That's going to bring up a third and about 15 for SHS. 8:45 to go here in the third quarter. 41-14 is the Bulldog lead. Bianco with a hard count draws the Miners off sides, and so they'll get five of those yards back. That'll move the ball down to the 10. It's third and 10, and as I say that, they can get a first down without getting a touchdown, but it'll be very difficult.
Really will. Just a short distance.
So Best, the single back in the backfield, he's standing off to the left of Bianco. Bianco will fake the handoff. He'll throw the little bubble pass out on the flat. Going to be a short gain there, as coming up on the stop was Adam Beck, and Beck's limping a little as he comes off from that play, trying to flex that leg a little.
Luke Seavers was the recipient of that Bianco pass on the bubble screen. Really a favorite, a new concept, the bubble screen. Used with split receivers dual, where one's going to be the blocker and the other one cuts around the back and tries to gain yards off his block. Very
from
effective
the 5 by
the Bulldogs.
Yard line, they'll run the option and they'll pitch the ball out, and the Miners had this one covered as Beck is out there on the pitch man. As the pitch man that one time was Kyle Favor, and Favor loses ground back to about the 15 yard line, and so the Miners defense holds on downs. They will get the ball back on their own 15, but a good defensive stand to start things off for GHS.
Really was kind of slowing down this Bulldog offense that put up so many yards and points in the first half. To get a stop is really hopefully a spark that these Miners need now, get things moving and get some more points on the board.
Going to spot that ball closer to the 14-yard line, but nonetheless, the Miners are going to see if they can set the offense up and get it going. Barrett was coming to the sideline. Now he heads back. He'll go into that tailback position, as now there's going to be a stoppage of play as the whistles blow.
I think we got another equipment.
Sure, is this equipment problem? The officials are looking at the helmet. Are they looking at Carter's helmet there?
I believe it is Carter's equipment that's in question here. But they don't appear to be fixing anything.
Well, perhaps a closer look and they realize...
It's Adam Beck again.
Evidently. Whatever equipment it was excess, because he tosses it over to the sideline and we're ready to continue playing. 7:42 to go, third quarter, 41-14. Staunton with the lead. Gillespie with the ball on their own 14-yard line. Out of the I formation. They'll go to the tailback. And getting out about to the line of scrimmage, not much more there, and a flag flies late. Let's see what that one is all about.
Well, we got Adam Beck and one of the officials are having a little heart-to-heart conversation here after the flag.
Dead ball. Unsportsman. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Well, as we talked about earlier, there's a lot of emotion that goes into this football game. And both sets of kids have done a great job of keeping it all under control and just so hopefully as we play out the second half that our coaching staffs can help keep things on a very hard played but yet sportsmanlike manner.
Does it look like they're going back half the distance to the goal line?
It would appear to be.
Taking it back to what, about the 7? So that'll be a 1st and 17, shall we call it? Something like that. 7:20 and counting here in the third quarter. Having trouble getting the Gillespie offense to running here. Having stoppage after stoppage. Now the Miners going to go with that toss sweep. They're going to give the ball off to Taylor. And Taylor, the 6 foot, 160-pound senior, with a nice run there, as he's going to get the ball out to about the 22, 23-yard line. Gain of 16, needed 17, should be 3rd and short.
But really a nice play. Taylor did an excellent job of being patient. He stayed horizontal in the backfield, allowing his blockers to get out and set up the blocks. And once they did, planted the left foot, got up the field very, very quickly off a couple of blocks. And I've been very impressed in the two games we've had with Dominic Taylor and how well he sets up his blocks and then breaks off of them.
Out of the wing tee, Corvani will be the split end over on this side. He'll give the ball off and up the left side for the first down, go the Miners. And again, on the carry, it will be McCopet. And again, after the play, we'll have a flag thrown. Boys will be boys.
Well, I believe things have been getting a little bit chippy out there, and I think this one's going to go against Staunton. And so...
Do you know what I say the penalty should be? Any unsportsmanlike conduct, they'll turn you over to the cross-country coach for 1 week. And after you go out and run 5Ks, 5-6 days in a row, you'll be a little more disciplined on the football field, I do believe. That's just my thinking.
I like that thinking.
Well, the penalty is going to march the ball all the way out over the 40-yard line. They continue to walk south as the Miner fans continue to applaud the call. They'll take it out to the 43. So it's going to be a 1st and 10 GHS from the 43. We're almost to the halfway mark of quarter number 3. Kind of trudging along here at a slow pace here in the third quarter, thanks to all of the penalties and the flags flying. But a 1st and 10 for the Miners. Let's see what they can do. They're going to fake and throw the ball deep to Cravagna. Cravagna with a jump ball. He has to go into defensive mode as Kyle McCullough had the better angle at the ball. So Cravagna had to go back and slap that one out of the air in order for it not to be intercepted. From their own 43, Gillespie now with a 2nd and 10. It's a good decision by your receiver when he knows that he's beat and the defender has the better shot at the ball, making sure he can't catch it. It's one of those, if I can't have it, nobody gets it.
Well, Anthony Cravagna is just a really smart football player and understood and recognized the situation and played it appropriately.
He'll come back over here and be the split end as they'll go wing tee to the right. And they'll hand the ball off to the fullback, McCopet. McCopet is going to keep driving forward as he simply cut back to the right side. That little cut, he found an opening on the right side of that line, gets the ball into Staunton territory, down to the Staunton 46-yard line, 1st and 10 Miners. Good run.
Really was, and McCopet, about midway through the second quarter, started getting more and more carries and has had a lot of success with carries that are gaining positive yards and getting a lot of first downs for the Miners.
The offensive line starting to get things done, and this time the Bulldogs jam it up in the middle, and there will be a penalty flag as it comes down and lands in Higginbotham's jersey. Can't get it out. The penalty flag is going to be thrown at the 44-yard line.
It's got all the look of a face mask. He threw it right into the pile, and possibly a hole, but
it is another face mask on the Bulldogs. So tell you what, the Miners are utilizing some big penalties against the Bulldogs to move this ball down the field. It'll be a first and 10 for the Miners, and they'll march it all the way down deeper into Bulldog territory as they'll take it all the way down inside the 30 down to about the 28-yard line. So from the Staunton 28, it'll be a first and 10 for the Miners. Timeout on the field, 5:42 to go here in the third quarter, 41-14, Staunton with the lead. Gillespie with the ball on the move when we come back after these messages on WSMI.
The live game, we have Carlinville traveling to Staunton to play with playoff implications. Litchfield at Pena is the delayed game at 9:15.
Following the timeout, they give the ball back to McCopit, and he has a good run up the chute once again all the way down to the 20-yard line. It'll be another first and 10 for the Miners as they're in the red zone.
You know, we talked earlier. We're at the Seavers Equipment red zone. That's Seavers Equipment. Score big with JCB at SeaversEquipment.com. Now, I was saying, though, a lot of these big gains in this drive, there's not been much time off the clock. That's the thing with those 30 yards and penalties have all been done with the clock not moving.
Yeah, time really is not an issue. What's an issue for the Bulldogs is being able to stop McCopit, as once again he strikes and takes it from the 20 down to the Staunton 11-yard line. It'll be a first and 10 for the Miners as they continue to move. They'll move the chains, and when they do, we'll wind the clock up and go inside the five-minute mark of quarter number three. 41-14, Staunton with the lead, but the Miners, they're knock, knock, knocking on the door. They cope it, runs into a wall, and he says, let's try another one. Outstanding block, and they're going to throw a flag on that one. An outstanding block, in my opinion anyway, that freed him up for the touchdown. But they caught him on the blind side, and I guess that's going to be a no-no.
Yeah, they're going to call him for an old crackback block, which I used to love to throw these on unsuspecting linebackers. And Drew Mullinex was the recipient of that crackback block, and the reason why they have made it illegal since, and that's what it's going to be, that illegal crackback. So, yeah. And it really just depletes that outside linebacker.
Not only that, but if you've got loose fillings, they'll be gone.
Oh, yeah. And it just, as you can probably hear over the air, the Gillespie crowd does not like that call. But this is something for about 15 years now has been an illegal block, and it was a textbook crackback.
So that'll move the ball all the way back to the 21. That'll bring up a first and 20. 4:44 showing on the third quarter clock. First and 20 from the 21-yard line. As the Miners come to the line of scrimmage, it'll be wing T to the right. It'll be a fake handoff, looking for a receiver over the middle, finding a receiver and just overthrowing slightly. The intended receiver there was Devin Stroh. Haven't called his number too much. He had a bit of daylight between him and the secondary, but the pass once again slightly overthrown, going to bring up a second and 20.
Devin Stroh, as he's running back to the huddle now, a nice looking target at 6'6" tall. You know, if they can get him open over the middle, just jump balls, I would think, would be an advantage for Stroh.
Well, I think Carter, having thrown a couple of interceptions, wanted to make sure he had that one deep and behind the secondary, a little bit too deep, but he didn't want to underthrow it and result in a potential interception. Going to bring up a second and 20. They'll run the option, and this time Carter's going to keep it himself, and he'll get the ball down to about the 15-yard line. A gain of 6, going to bring up a third and still about 14. Nice run there by Carter as he made the right decision and, as you're talking about so many times, planted that left foot, made the cut quickly.
He had his pitch man. He had Dominic Taylor as the pitch man, but as you said, Carter decided to go ahead and keep the ball and get some positive yards. But we're now in a third down and 15. Really kind of shrinks down the playbook a little bit.
I have no problem whichever way you go with that. Just don't be indecisive.
Hmm.
Either know that you want to keep and go or know that you want to pitch. Now that's going to bring up a third down. Rolling out to the left. Carter's going to go into the corner of the end zone. And this time they reversed the roles. It was the offensive man was Anthony Carvagna, and it was Kyle McCullough who comes up with the knock the ball away to make sure the pass is not completed. That's going to bring up a fourth and 14, but of course for the Miners, they have to have six.
He had Carvagna open in the corner for a second, pulled the trigger just a couple of seconds too late, and by that time McCullough was able to recover, get over and knock the ball away, but he did. When Carvagna made his break, if Carter throws the ball off the break, I think we're looking at a touchdown Miners.
And that's one of the hardest things for a quarterback to do, to make that throw before you actually see him open. You have to throw it on the cut in order to give him a chance to catch the ball. Fourth down, 14 for the Miners. They're going to go straight drop back. Oh, he eludes the first tackler. Now he's running for his life. He wants to double back. He's got some blockers ahead. Now a pass over the middle, underthrown, intended for Frankie Barrett, but you got to give Carter E for effort on that one because he scrambled left, he ran back right, he was dead to rights a couple of times, still got the pass off.
Kind of a la Russell Wilson for all of us Seahawks fans
there
out there that like to watch him play. Just
I thought that was coming.
He the starting defense had him corralled a couple of times, and he just kept using his athleticism to create opportunities and give himself a little bit more time. But in the end, he just couldn't find an open receiver.
And so the Bulldogs will take over on downs. They'll do so on their own 15-yard line. 3:36 to go here in the third quarter. And Bianco's going to go back and throw that screen as he'll find Mullenix out there with blockers ahead. Mullenix turns the corner as the flag flies. Mullenix is flying down the sideline. And you can see one of the coaches over on the far side flipping his hands in the air. He knows this one is probably going to come back on an illegal block. However, what an outstanding catch and run on the play.
And I tell you what, they had it. Adam Beck was who got held. He was the only guy out there, the only guy. All they had to do was make a good block on him. And this touchdown run by Molnix holds up, and it was a holding call.
No, they're going to call holding on the defense.
They're going to call Adam Beck for a holding.
No. I think the official is going to come in and straighten this one out.
Come on!
They're discussing it now. Let's see if they get the call straight. The official will call holding against the Bulldogs.
Important thing is we got it right.
Got it right. Well, not only did he get his directions mixed up, but he got blood pressure up over here on the near sideline, as there were more than a few who saw what you saw, the holding call against Beck, and it will back the Bulldogs up. I'm not sure where that flag went down at.
They're I think it was it right back. Around the 22. Does that make sense of where the ball is now? It's right around the 20.
They're going to take it back to
the 11.
10, so it's going to be a first and 15. So it'll be a first and about 15. 3:20 to go here in the third quarter. Following the penalty on the Bulldogs that negated the long screen pass for the touchdown. Now Mullenix, whoa. That's one of those deals where once he stood up and there's three or four Miners pushing him back, you need to stop the play, and he's helped up by a couple of the Miners who put him to the ground. Good sportsmanship there, as Frank Barrett was one of them, out at the 20-yard line, the 10-yard line, so no gain on the play. He's going to bring up a second and 15. From their own 10, clock running with 2:45 to go here in the third quarter. Staunton leading 41-14. They've got their backs up against the shadow of their goalpost, as they'll send three receivers wide left over to the far side of the field, one wide right. Coach is not sure that he likes what he sees, so he'll call a timeout. We'll reset it, 2:30 to go, third quarter. Staunton 41, Gillespie 14. When we come back, it'll be second and 15 for Staunton from their own 10-yard line, and you're listening to WSMI. At the 2:30 mark of the third quarter, it'll be a second and 15 from their own 10. And making that reception was Tyler Grandadier. Grandadier just went sliding on that one. Kind of interesting because the defender came over and was going to tag him a la NFL to make sure somebody touches him when he's down. Didn't need to, but a nice catch nonetheless by Grandadier, giving the Bulldogs a first and 10 from their own 30. Now we'll go with two lead backs. The Bulldogs will head off of the right side. I'm not sure, they're kind of a late block coming in by Devin Ray, but in any event, the gain is up to about the 33, so we'll give them a gain of 3 and call it second and 7.
Ryan Best, normally that the blocking back getting a carry there, when I look at him and you think Bulldogs, he kind of, Ryan Best, his build just kind of almost exemplifies that Bulldog look.
The Best is to one side of Bianco. And over on the other side is Ray. Going to roll out, dump a little pass off that's going to be incomplete as they were intending. Is there another flag down here?
There is. They're going to call a defensive pass interference in this. I think the defender from the Miners had wrapped him up just a little before the ball got, just timed it a little bit too early, but they're going to get him for pass interference.
And so the defensive pass interference, you see a couple of the Miners now, they're kind of bending over, a little bit gassed, haven't been out there for so long. One of those is Frank Barrett, as he's kind of, let's put it the way it is, he's pooped.
Well, one of the strengths of this Staunton offense, the obvious is it's explosive. Now, the read between the lines strength of this offense is they run the defense to death. They run them all over the field. Even on incomplete passes, the defense is running all over the place and then having to come back, and they wear defenses out.
And Cody Castaldi comes out, and Barrett has him one-on-one out here, it would appear. They're going to go back to the inside, and they'll hand off to Devin Ray. Ray, with those fresh legs, tries to go around the left side, but the Miners' defense strings it out. Going to be little or no gain over there. Looks like Devin Stroh, one of those coming up on the defense at about the 49. We'll give him a gain of 2, call it 2nd and 8.
Devin Ray, just a junior for the Bulldogs. It would be assumed that being the heir apparent to take over for Drew Mullinex, I'm sure it's hard for Bulldog fans to imagine a future without Drew Mullinex in the backfield, but it's coming in just a few weeks, and I think Devin Ray probably is going to be the guy that takes over for him.
Two wide left, two wide right. They'll swing it out here to Devin Ray. Devin Ray is going to get up to about the 50-yard line, and there's a slew of Miners coming up on the tackle. Of course, one of them getting up, you might expect, was Adam Beck. As one of the last ones coming up over there, number 24, that's Billy Gill in on the stop, and Billy's been on a few. Now we've got one of the Miners there kind of hobbling a little bit, and that's Ryan Root. He's down now. Whatever was ailing him, he tried to fight it off, and then he realized he couldn't. So as he goes down, there'll be a timeout on the field. 21 seconds to go here in the third quarter. Staunton 41, Gillespie 14, back after these messages on WSMI.
6.1.
They're already a little thin with Foley Safari getting hurt in practice this week. If they lose Ryan Root as well, that's really going to be quite a hit to their offensive and defensive lines.
It'll be a third and about 7 with the ball resting at the 50-yard line. But I believe both teams are satisfied to let that third quarter clock run out. They will do so. And after three quarters of play here at Gillespie High School, it is the Staunton Bulldogs 41, the Gillespie Miners 14. Back with the fourth quarter after these messages on WSMI. Jen Graham, our producer, back in the studio. I'm Gary Boker alongside Dan Newkirk. One thing I always liked when you switch quarters, if the ball's on the 50-yard line, you don't have to worry about much.
Yeah, basically the teams just ran to their own sideline and then traded places because the ball's, it's sitting just slightly on the starting side, but the ball's on the 50.
They will send a favor in motion. and it's going to be a keeper for Bianco. He's got one man to beat. He'll cut back in the middle. He's sandwiched, and he simply squirts right through the two defenders, and Bianco goes 50 yards for the touchdown. Again, he makes it look so easy.
He really does, and, you know, I don't know if it's the threat of Drew Mullinix back there that when he makes a ball fake to him, they jump so much on that. But when Griffin Bianco does decide to run the ball, you know, easy is the great word for it. He just is in the backfield. He's taking on safeties half his size. And
well, it looked like to me there were two safeties that had him sandwiched, but each guy kind of thought, let the other guy do it. This ball, the extra point goes off of the left upright, caroms over and through. It is good. So Kinder with a little bit of luck that time makes our scoreboard read 48-14 in favor of the Bulldogs of Staunton. We'll be back with the Staunton kickoff after these messages on WSMI. With a scoreless third quarter, and then lo and behold, they open it up in the fourth quarter, and the first time they find a leak in the defense right up the middle. Bianco takes advantage of it, 50 yards for the touchdown. Here we go again.
It really was unfortunate because the effort by the Miners defense in the third quarter was absolutely outstanding. They had Drew Mullinix bottled up for the most part. Great pass defense when Griffin Bianco decided to try to pass the ball, and for them to come out and give up that long touchdown the first play of the quarter was very unfortunate.
The Miners take the kickoff. It looked like they were going to run the old fake reverse, but nobody was there. Didn't seem like it mattered as they go right up the middle and make a nice run out over the 40-yard line. So the Miners going to get some good field position after an outstanding run back by Crivania. Gets the ball all the way out to the Gillespie 44.
Anthony Crivania, really a dangerous weapon for these Miners. And it would be nice to see them trying to come up with some creative ways to get the ball in his hands, because when he does have the ball, he really seems to draw a lot of attention and make some things happen. So it's just a matter of being able to get the ball in his hands.
Well, now Mullinix has three touchdowns. Bianco has three touchdowns. Just for a little bit of good keeping here, let's send another one in there for Tyler Grandadier. And it's 48-14 in favor of the Bulldogs. We'll pass out here to Gravania, and Gravania is going to get the ball across midfield. He'll get it into Staunton territory before he's finally brought down by Drew Mullinix. But Gravania with a nice catch and run after the catch inside the 45 down to the Staunton 44. So he goes 44-44 for a first and 10 Miners.
And again, I think moving forward, and with this, we have an image, because they're, you know, down by 27 points. 34 points. They're going to need to get the ball in Crivania's hands here.
Yeah, and as we were mentioning, both of these teams coming in at 3-3. The winner will go to 4-3. Going to be a toss sweep as they're going to give this one off to John Berry and the 5'8", 160-pound sophomore. He's been impressive on several runs tonight. Gets the ball down inside the 40, down to about the 35. So we'll give him a gain of about 9 and call it second, maybe 1, maybe 2.
That carry for Berry, he's 5 carries for 75 yards now. A lot of that on the strength of the 49-yard touchdown run that he had in the second quarter. But really, the unassuming weapon that I'm sure the Bulldogs were not necessarily planning for.
Well, he'll come out over here as they'll run double slots over here on the near side with a split end, as he's the inside of the three receivers. He'll go back and look. Nobody there, so Carter looks again. Now he's able to find Berry over the middle, and Barry's going to get the ball down inside the 30-yard line as he'll pick up 5 yards when he needed two, and it'll be first and 10 Miners. Dan, as we were talking coming into tonight's game, both teams at 3-3. The winner's going to go to 4-3. It looks like right now it will be Staunton, as they will have a week eight encounter with Carlinville, a week 9 encounter at Roxana. They will need one of those two wins to make the playoffs. Gillespie, should they go down to defeat, they're going to have to win at Greenville next week and at home against Southwestern in week 9 if they plan on making the playoffs.
So I think what you're trying to tell me, Gary, is that the team that loses this game is going to have a tough, tough time getting into the playoffs.
The mountain's going to get pretty steep. That is true. Dominic Taylor, haven't called his number very much here lately, but he gets the call, and he'll get the ball down to about the 30-yard line. Swings wide for little or no gain. Let's call it 2nd and 10. Bulldogs did a good job of stringing that one out over on the far side. Once again, coming up, Kyle McCullough on the stop. Who's the other end over there?
Let's see, I think out there, is it Dave DeWeese?
Either that or Ryan Best, I'm not sure over there, but good defensive play, yes indeed. McCullough going to get the ball as he's going to try to do that little fullback trap up the middle. He'll get down close to the 25, let's call it about the 26. Give him a gain of 3 or 4. I'm going to bring up a 3rd and about 6 or 7. Let's go 3rd and 7 from the 26-yard line. Miners trailing 48-14 as we approach the 9-minute mark of the fourth quarter. And as we said, next week for the Miners, they will be at Greenville before hosting Southwestern in week 9. Carter drops back, looking deep over the middle. It's going to be intercepted once again. Tyler Grandadier intercepts that pass, which was overthrown. You got to give the Bulldogs credit. They had not one but two defenders down there. Grandadier was playing deep, and he makes the interception, and the Bulldogs get the ball back.
Really had a lot of tension. It was Callum McCullough that was underneath the route, so they had their bases covered for sure. And Tyler Grandadier really made it, I mean, a great catch. Not surprising to anybody with being what a great receiver he is.
So the Bulldogs then will get the ball at the 20-yard line as the interception was made in the end zone, and Grandadier wisely decided that he was going to take a knee in the end zone, actually slid to the ground for the interception and the touchback. And the Bulldogs now in command of this one with 8:50 to go. They'll hand the ball off to Mullenix. He'll go up the middle. He's hit there by a couple of Miners. One of them was Billy Gill, and the other one was Adam Beck. They sandwiched him and brought him down for a short gain. Going to bring up a 2nd and about 8. We'll give him 2 out to the 22. Clock continuing to run now at 8:45. The Bulldogs content to let that clock work as they have a 34-point lead. Little swing pass out here to Luke Severs. Severs spins away from one tackler, spins away from another. He gets the ball all the way out over the 30-yard line. It's going to be good enough for another Bulldog first down. What 2nd effort that time by Luke Severs?
Well, he just stayed on his feet, and rather than tackle him initially, he just kind of got wrapped up, and they tried to throw him down. Well, Severs kept his feet moving and is underneath him and wind up turning into something pretty good.
Wrapping him uproot, that's what they used to say. Get his feet off the ground, then he can't go anywhere. In any event, the Bulldogs get a 1st and 10 from their own 31. They'll move the chains and then wind the clock back up as we head to the 8-minute mark. Snap back to Mullenix. And Mullenix is going to be free and running away. One man, Frank Barrett, with a chance to catch him. Barrett from behind brings him down inside the 5, and that had to hurt. It hurt all the way up here, didn't it?
Yeah, I tell you what, and Mullenix a little slow to get up. That was a little bit of a dangerous tackle. Great effort. Great effort by Barrett to get down there, but boy, he grabbed the shoulder pads and just kind of sagged on him. And
well, what you
probably
worry about
lucky
there,
enough to draw a flag on that tackle.
Now, is that Achilles and that hamstring getting pulled and wrenched back? They're going to spot the ball on what, about the 4-yard line? Looks like 1st and goal from the 4 for the Bulldogs, who lead in this one 48-14. as Bianco looks over to the sideline to get the play call. They're taking their time and letting the clock run down. The play clock right at one as they hand off. And that one went to, who was it on that carry? Was it granted? No. That was Ray on the carry. He's brought down at about the 7-yard line. For some, the 7-yard line, it'll be first and goal. Still 7 minutes to go in this one. 7 minutes to go on the clock as the Bulldogs are threatening to score again.
That's a Seavers Equipment Red Zone. Score big with JCB at SeaversEquipment.com.
Into the end zone is Griffin Bianco. Have we said that before tonight? Well, we're saying it again.
Maybe four times.
Bianco in from 7 yards out for the touchdown. His fourth touchdown of the night makes it 54-14. That will be a 40-point advantage for Staunton. And so with 6:47 to go here in the fourth quarter, we will have a running clock when we come back following this extra point and on the kickoff. Kinder's kick is up, it's high, it's long, and it's good. 55-14 is the Staunton lead over Gillespie. We'll be back with the Bulldog kickoff after these messages on WSMI. A 5-play, 80-yard drive for the Staunton Bulldogs. I don't know if you heard that, but that was the final nail being put in the Miners' coffin with that 7-yard touchdown run by Griffin Bianco, his fourth touchdown of the night. And that's going to seal the deal for the Staunton Bulldogs, who with the win will be able to see their overall season record and conference record improve to 4-3. And as we said, Staunton with a home game against Carlinville next week. They'll be on the road at Roxana in week 9. They will need to win one of those two games to be playoff eligible.
Yeah, and Gillespie on the flip side of that, a job by the coaching staff this week that they're going to have to do recovering from this rivalry loss to get ready to play a very tough Greenville team, must win in order to keep their playoff hope alive.
Well, if they could get a win against Greenville, you would have to like their chances against Southwestern in week 9, because a win in week 8 would mean we go to week 9 with the chance of getting in the playoffs. Nice run back there by the Miners out to the 40-yard line. And so for Gillespie, it'll be first and 10 from their own 40 as they will put the ball in play, and we will wind this clock up. There's 6:22 to go, but it should go rather quickly these last 6 minutes and 22 seconds.
Right, with the running clock. So, and you know, we talked about this big rivalry over the last, and points has been a theme. Been a lot of points scored by both the teams.
Now in 4 of the last 5 years, the winning team has scored 40 points or more. That's been
right.
A given.
Oh, boy.
Going to be a new quarterback in here for the Miners, as that was.
Yes, and the ball wound up was fumbled and recovered by the Bulldogs.
Yes, Barrett on the fumble there. But first play results in a fumble. The Bulldogs going to get the ball back. They will do so in Gillespie territory. Now they're discussing.
Well, there's
things.
A discussion. The Bulldog defense isn't going anywhere, and Minor offense is coming back on the field. So,
well, this is a situation where I don't know why Staunton would care whichever way it goes. The clock is continuing to run on the running clock, and
I don't know what happened.
They're going to have illegal participation there by the Bulldogs. So they're going to replay, and it's going to be a first down.
Boy, we've got a break there. Penalty flag against.
Is it? Well, you know, illegal participation, and the announcer just said too many men on the field. Was that what it was? Did one of the players leave?
I think they must have had 12.
They must have had 12, or
did
we have?
And this is a situation. You look at some white jerseys out there. they're putting some new guys in the game, and there's a chance that, you know, they got their numbers mixed up. For the Miners, a small victory. They'll pick up 5 yards. It'll be a first and five from their own 45. Now there will be a timeout by the officials as, well, they've got to take the chains back to where they were and leave them there. They started to move the chains, and they will stay where they should be. Now the referee, hopefully, he's going to say, all right, we got everything in line here. Now we're ready to go. He'll mark the ball ready for play. Does he know we've got a running clock? He's not going to start it till we have a snap, I guess.
Well, we're doing some substituting.
We're going to make sure we got everybody in, everybody out. Now that he's satisfied, it's 11 on 11. Good officiating there.
That was.
To avoid another penalty, which was pretty much irrelevant. And now the Miners going to try up the middle, and not a whole lot going on there, as that was number 42 carrying. That's C.J. Frinsco, the 5'5", 161-pound sophomore. He's going to get back to about the line of scrimmage, so we're going to call it second and five for the Miners from their own 45. Clock running inside 4 minutes we go. 55-14, Staunton Bulldogs with the lead. They're headed to their fourth win of the season. They'll need one more to make the playoffs at 5-4. The handoff is going to be given. It's number 34, John Berry. Berry's going to pick up, what, maybe three? Three, let's call it third and two. From the 48-yard line, clock continuing to run, down to 3:20 we go. Barrett coming in with the play. See, we got Blake Zinner in there on the offensive line for the Miners. Now it's going to be a pass by Barrett. They're going to say it was caught, as the intended receiver down there was Zane Rimmer, and he's just in the ball game, and he just makes the catch at the 30-yard line, picked up 18. It'll be a first and 10 for the Miners as the clock continues to run with 2:30 to go in this one. Frinsco sitting there as the fullback. As it will be Barrett quarterbacking. Hand off. Is that Barry again over there? No, that was 24.
That's Frinsco.
On the carry. Frinsco with the carry once again. Excuse me, 24? 34. 20.
That was 24. That was C.J. Frinsco.
Okay.
Another side. A couple of youngs. Between Frinsco and Barry, that's a nice.
I got Billy Gill at 24.
Oh, Billy Gill. Yes, I'm sorry. Billy Gill at 24. Right.
Okay. We got to give credit where credit's due. Billy Gill doing a good job there. Making a nice run. Now it's going to be off to Barry. Barry's going to get down inside the 15-yard line. He'll get another first down for the Miners as we're headed down to the final 90 seconds here in the fourth quarter. Miners would like to get another score if they could. They're going to have Brendan Lovesy come into the ball game, and it looks like Drake Winters may have been coming in there as well. Getting some new kids on the block, a little bit of playing time there.
Tyler Waters is over at left tackle right now, left guard, it looks like.
Barrett going to go toss sweep to Barry. Barry's going to be slung down at the 15-yard line.
It was Alex Jasper making that tackle on the play.
End of the final minute we go. At the, what did they mark it at? 15-yard line?
We are right at the 15.
So it'll be a second and about 15 or 13 from the 15. For the Miners, going to that I formation. Couple backs in there blocking. And are they going to call that an incomplete pass?
Yes, it will be an incomplete pass.
And that will bring up third down with 20 seconds to go. Looks like this is going to be our final score of the game as the play clock runs down. 55-14 is going to be our final score. Staunton 55, Gillespie 14. Final thoughts, Dan?
Well, Drew Mullinex and Griffin Bianco combined for almost 400 yards of rushing on the ground. So that backfield tandem really was the difference in this game. It was statistically, points-wise, and really effort-wise, very one lopsided towards the Staunton way. Outstanding effort by the Bulldogs.
Bianco, Mullinex, and mistakes.
Yes.
That's what doomed the Miners yes. tonight. Our final score is 55-14, Staunton with the victory. We want to take this opportunity to thank all of our sponsors, without whom we would not be able to bring these high school football games to you over WSMI. And of course, thank you to you fans for listening in. Special thanks goes back to the studio to Jen Graham for producing tonight's game. For Dan Newkirk, I'm Gary Boger. One final time, our final score is Staunton 55, Gillespie 14. Gary Boker saying so long from the gridiron.